Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My special guest tonight is chef, pastry chef, yes. I could say, Edeliana Medina.
Yes.
And we're here to talk about your passion, your art of pastry. I recommend strongly that people go to your website. Give me the website address.
Yeah, it's www.edelianamedina.com.
And when I first went there and I saw that slideshow there, I almost died. I want to talk to you. How did you start down this road? It seems like anybody that makes the kind of creations that you did, it's a passion.
Right.
And it's not just a business. It is a business, but it's also a real passion.
Yeah.
You didn't start out to be a pastry chef.
I did not.
But you liked baking and cooking when you were a kid?
Yes. So I've always been in the kitchen. I think the youngest age, my mom would tell you, was probably like around six.
Do you remember the first things you were able to cook or help out with?
Probably Spanish food, to be honest. My mom says I'm picky, so she taught me how to do the things I like. So, like, I don't know, like...
That's a smart parent move, by the way.
Yes, it is. Like, stuffed shells and, like, just, like, some, like, random little things. So she put me in the kitchen early. And I've always liked being in the kitchen. I'm fast in the kitchen, so it's just something I, like, enjoy. But I actually, when I was coming out of high school, I wanted to be a chef.
And you went to Doherty.
Yes, I went to Doherty.
That's important.
Yeah, I went to Doherty. I'm born and raised in Worcester. So I looked at Johnson & Wales when I first graduated.
Yep, yep.
I laugh when I tell this story, but we went to tour campus. I didn't like their desk, which is the reason I said I didn't want to go there. Yeah.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
I didn't. Their desk at Johnson & Wales at the time looked like high school desk, and I just felt like I didn't want to be there. Who knows? I was also like
17.
So their
desks were the real cheesy high school desks?
Yes, so I didn't want to be there, so I decided like, I'm not going to go down that route. Who knows? And it probably like, doesn't make sense now, but...
I think that's legit, because I hate high school desks.
Yeah, and in my head, I was like, I'm paying a lot of money.
You're paying a lot of money, you don't want to be treated like a high school student.
Right.
Okay.
So I ended up at Worcester State. It was down the street from my house. I had grown up there because I did like college programs and things like that, so it just kind of like made sense. When I started, I applied as a biotech major.
Where did that come from?
I wanted to do forensic science. That was my actual goal, was forensic science.
Okay, stop. Where did that passion come from? Because that's really interesting. That's a very specific thing.
Yeah, so we watch a lot of
I was going to say, watching CSI a lot?
A lot of that, and we actually, when I was my senior year, I did a CSI camp in Ohio where I got to cut into cadavers, look at like a scene, things like that. So like that was my goal.
You're bringing an awful lot to your pastry.
So that was
now I have
goal.
A whole different image of you making this pastry, man. That's really fascinating.
Yeah,
did you like it?
I loved it. But science in college and science in high school are two completely different things.
Oh, yeah.
Which I quickly found out my first semester. So science, biotech is a mix of all sciences. So it just didn't work out.
Okay.
The way I needed it to. So that second semester, I switched to psychology without having ever taken a class. But you could do like forensic psychology, which is,
right,
you know, still in the same field. And psychology was probably like, the best thing I chose.
Okay.
I just seemed to like immediately be good at it and like thoroughly enjoy it. So I graduated with Worcester State with psychology, a minor in sociology, and a concentration in women's studies. That was my time at Worcester State. Like I had mentioned earlier, I graduated with my mom.
Now, I love the fact that you did that.
Yeah. So
what brought your mom back to college?
So when I started at Worcester State, she decided that she had started when she was in high school and then like took off. It had been like 30 some odd years. She had me and my older brother.
That's a common story.
Yeah. So then when I started, she's decided, okay, she's going back. Let me at least go to Quinsig. And because she had some college credits, it took her less time to graduate Quinsig. I think she was only there for like a year. And then they have, you know, they have a program where it's the state, so she could just transfer right over.
Wow.
So she did psychology and Spanish. So we had multiple classes together the entire time.
Wow.
Yeah. So we would sit next to each other. She would like kick me under the table.
I got to ask you about that because I know an awful lot of people that would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
To have their parent in your classes with you.
I think a lot of people think that, but me and my mom are really best friends.
Okay.
So we have a great relationship as it is. And it's good to
but
like...
She's not like checking out who you're dating and
yeah,
all this
no,
other
no,
stuff?
No, no, no. She would like yell at me if I was on my phone.
She's not hanging out at the parties you're going to?
No. theoretically, my friends like my mom more than like me, so probably she probably could have.
Whoa.
But
whoa.
But yeah, so we did classes together, which was great because it was like having a permanent study buddy, which was definitely nice. But because she had transfer credits, she was going to graduate early. So I ended up taking summer classes almost the last year and a half to make sure I was able to graduate in time. So we ended up graduating. I graduated a year early, and we crossed the stage together from Worcester State. With psychology, yeah.
That's actually really sweet.
Yeah.
Is it a big moment?
Yeah, it was. It was something. It was on her.
It
like,
seems like it would
list.
Be like a huge.
And it was like we got to like. I think I crossed first. She crossed right after me. So like it was just like a big deal, and
it,
it was something that she really wanted to do. So of course, if I can make it happen, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I did.
So wait a minute. You're still off in the psychology forensics
still,
thing.
Still in psychology.
So
yeah.
Where's the turning point?
It's coming. So after Worcester State, I immediately went and got my. I started my master's in. Higher ed, and it's psychology with a concentration in higher ed, so like working with college
You're
students.
Really multi-purposing all the time, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's... And eventually it'll probably catch up to me, but it's okay. So when I was in grad school, one of the things I did to kind of like, just kind of like relax and like take a break from internships in grad school was I just started baking. It was just kind of like I said, I had always been in the kitchen, so it was just kind of like
had
made
you,
sense.
But had you, there's one thing about being in the kitchen, and I love cooking myself. Mm-hmm. But I don't bake.
Right.
And I always feel like it's a totally different world baking.
It is, yeah. It's.
Did you bake as a young person?
Yeah, but like not anything specific, you know, like cookies and like random stuff. Not anything.
Like brownies and stuff
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Know, yeah. Okay. And like from the box and not like actual, you
cooking.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
So you're actually now this time you're doing real baking.
Yeah, real baking. And it was just like I said, it was just like for the fun of it to kind of like de-stress because I was writing 15-page psychology papers and interning and like I just needed something that wasn't psychology or college student related. So I started baking. My poor friends would come over every weekend and like try out all my cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. I'm your poor friends.
Yeah.
I'm sure. You were really popular at that point.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
So
I wanted friends like you while I was in college.
You say that. And then I get blamed for everybody gaining weight or not feeling good. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure.
But, Ida made me put on 20 pounds. It's all her fault.
Almost every day I hear somebody tells me that. They're like, listen, these pants don't fit me anymore. I'm like, it's not, I didn't tell you to eat it. So I don't know. But yeah, so they kind of, like I said, every weekend I was baking for them, just kind of like trying. I started with cupcakes. So just kind of like trying different flavors, doing that kind of stuff. And then one of them was like, you should probably start really doing this. You know, like take this serious. And at first I was like, eh, like I wasn't, you know, going to. But I ended up finishing my master's, working a full-time higher ed job, and then decided, like, okay, a lot of people have told me that at this point. It had already been, like, about a year. So people were like, you know, you should think about it. And Johnson & Wales, ironically, had a weekend program where I could go to school, excuse me, Saturday and Sunday. So Saturday was, like, regular class, but thankfully because I had most of my credits, only had to take a couple, and then Sunday was lab. So for 2 years, Sundays was dedicated to Johnson & Wales. We were there 6 in the morning to... Theoretically, it's supposed to be 6 at night, but some classes ran longer.
Holy God.
Yeah, every Sunday. The only time we had off was
I don't think most people who don't know about Johnson & Wales don't know the kind of...
It's a lot.
It is. Talk to me about labs at Johnson & Wales. So what do you... A lab is just you're baking or cooking something?
Yeah, so... So because we did the weekend program, labs were a month, so 4 Sundays. So if you go to Johnson & Wales during the day... It's a lab is 9 days, like 9 mornings. That's how they do it. They're like, they don't have regular semesters.
Now, are they covering different things in each lab?
Yeah. So like we had like an intro to cakes, intro to breads, ice cream, like a hot and cold class. So we had 15 classes, if I'm not mistaken, of like a sugar class.
All this is totally new to me because I know that education exists, but I don't know what it contains.
Yeah.
So what would be an example of an advanced bread?
Right, so advanced
Is that bread, like a braided bread or something?
Yeah, so we learned braided bread, like decorative bread. So we did one that had like a wine glass and like you made like little grapes out of like the bread and you baked it and it looked like a real pretty...
Wow.
Yeah. Some of the classes like advanced...
So the emphasis on these classes is always about... It's not about cooking for yourself. It's about cooking professionally.
Yeah.
And doing presentation work.
Yeah, and like knowing the basics so that if you decide like which area you want to go to, you have at least the basics to go... forward with.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So like we had like a chocolate class, sugars, which was fun. I burned my hand a few times.
Now do you eat each other's stuff?
Yeah, for most of the classes, you get to bring home your production at the end of the day, which is definitely like a nice part. You've been in labs for 12, 13 hours. Wow. So like getting home and like having bread for days. So at the time I was doing that, I worked at Bottom Line with Mel. So every Monday they got all my like baked goods because I was just here's everything that we did for the day. So yeah.
First of all, that sounds very intensive.
It is.
Were you able to, now, does stuff go wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I want to know about. Yeah. Like I'm starting to imagine myself trying to take one of these classes. So like what's the kind of things that go wrong in a class level?
Like that.
Begin learning to bake. Like what's the most common mistakes that people make?
I think a lot of it at first was like misscaling things, because you have to, when you're in class, you do it by like ounces and not by cups. So a lot of people didn't know how to scale right. So if you scale one thing wrong, it kind of affects a lot. And like some of the classes, I would say, for example, I would be in charge of making like something for the entire class, because it's such a short period. There's not enough time for everybody to make certain things. So if I screwed up one thing, now the whole class has a screwed up product. So there was definitely times like that. Just like a lot of it is just like fast paced moving.
Wow.
We're only in, like I said, it's only 12 hours, which sounds like a lot, but it's
a lot.
Not in reality. Like it's only 4 Sundays. So you're in and you're out basically. I remember one time we walked in, we were in our viennoiserie class, which is like danishes, croissants, that kind of items. And a poor girl, I walked into the walk-in freezer and she's just like bawling her eyes out just because it was so much stress. And because
I have to believe this is really pressure. And the other thing is you have a final product, and if it doesn't come out, that's it.
Yeah, and we get graded on like everything that we do. So like if your Danish, for example, isn't puffed right, or your croissants don't have the right amount of like layers, like you get docked, you know. And like we get to do it again for like our final, but you basically only kind of do it once.
Talk to me about a final. Like, is it a surprise thing so you don't know what's coming?
No, usually they tell you like, okay, you have to make this for your final, and kind of sometimes they make you do like a sheet which would tell you like what steps you're gonna do for the day of the final. Because in the final you only usually get like the first 6 hours of the day to like do your final, then the other day would be like clean up and prep and stuff like that for like the next class. So usually most of the classes told you what you were gonna make. Yeah. Yeah.
So what was your final?
So in that class, in our viennoiserie class, we had to make a book of step-by-step instructions of like how to make croissants, how to make danishes, how to make quick bread. So he wanted like very specific, and we had to have like pictures and stuff. So that one he told us at the first day of class, because we had to take pictures throughout the 4 weeks.
And now you're just taking pictures with your phone?
Yeah, just with your phone.
But so you're actually putting a cookbook together.
In that class, it was. Another class, like in our cake class, we just had to like completely bake, frost, and decorate a cake within the 6 hours. You know, so each class, it just depended on what the class was.
Now, in the cake class, was it a cake of your choice?
If I'm not mistaken, the filling was our choice, but the cake was like just like a standard like vanilla cake, just
so
that.
So you didn't do any fancy decorations?
Well, we did like a birthday, roses.
Okay.
Happy birthday, you know, like I'm sure we had to do like a specific border that she told us. We had to have like a certain number of roses, you know. Wow. Yeah.
I love hearing these details. So you graduate. And now you're thinking, where do I go next? Where do you go?
Yeah, so before I graduated, so I finished, December of 2018, I believe.
Okay.
And then I had a semester off, and I ended up, so with Johnson & Wales, you either have to do an internship or study abroad. I think this is what I mentioned the first time I had met you. I actually ended up getting accepted to go to France for the summer. So I did 2 months in France, and that was like my internship / study abroad.
This is what I want to know about. That sounds amazing.
It was
amazing. Has you traveled to Europe before then?
No. This is my first time.
Did you know French?
No. No. I knew it a little bit in middle school, and I completely lost
it.
So
me too.
Yeah. So no, absolutely not.
So I want to know about this experience. So here you are. So who are you studying with?
So it's other Johnson & Wales students. So Johnson & Wales has 4 main campuses, if I'm not mistaken. So like students got picked from all different campuses. Thankfully, I got to go with my best friend.
But where are you going in France?
So we went to Issingue, which is where the school was. And it was I'm going to butcher this name because it's definitely in French, but it's the École Nationale Supérieure de Pâtisserie. So the National School of Pastry in Issingue. So it's like the best pastry
school. This sounds really intimidating.
It is, but thankfully like the pastry chefs were very nice and like understanding, and like I'm a little older compared to like some of the other students that were there. So like they were closer to my age. So it was like very easy to like communicate and talk to them, which was nice.
And they taught you in English?
Yeah, they taught us in English. Like they picked the chefs who like knew mostly English to like teach you.
Still, no offense to the French, but talk about people who are snotty about food.
Yeah, they know their food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So was there like a sense of like, oh, my God, like yeah. I'm going to people who are going to be hypercritical about what I do.
Yeah. Like the whole school in general just kind of has that feel, like not in a bad way, but like it's the best pastry school in like the world, basically. So yeah. like you already have that feeling. Yeah. But it was like, it was such an amazing.
What were your classes like?
So we had some of the same classes. We had a plated desserts class.
Now, talk to me. That's a phrase used on your website. Mm-hmm. What does a plated dessert mean?
So it's basically taking like different components of a dessert. So like, for example, like maybe an ice cream, a mousse, a crumble, and then just plating it on your plate very like creatively. Yeah. So it's just like making a pretty presentation of like some of the common.
This is the big thing, again, preparing you for professional work.
Yeah.
So you're doing one of those real fancy-looking plates.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
you
yeah.
put it down, people feel guilty eating it because yeah. it looks so beautiful.
Yeah. And it costs like $30. That kind of, yeah. That's like plated desserts. And that's like mostly like restaurant work. You don't get that in like every location
right,
that you work at.
Right.
But yeah, we had a plated desserts. We had an entremets class, which is like...
What is that?
It's like basically like a layered mousse cake. So, like, it's a mousse cake that's frozen, and then inside it has, like, maybe cake or a jelly or a ganache. It's just, like, layer, and then you do a very pretty glaze over it, and then that's...
All of this is sounding incredible. Yeah. It's like you're talking organic chemistry to me. It's like you're used to it.
Right, yeah.
But it sounds incredibly complicated.
And it, like, entremets for, like, specifically are just because there's so many different pieces.
Yeah.
And everything has to be frozen at different temperatures, put together. And then when you freeze the whole
thing. Wait a minute. Frozen at different temperatures?
Yeah, like, frozen differently. Maybe not different temperatures, but, like, differently to put together. And then eventually put together to put into the mousse. Yeah.
Okay. So you graduate from there.
Yep.
And... first of all, was it really was it a big deal to graduate there? Did they have a ceremony and stuff?
Yeah, they had a huge ceremony. All of us got to go. They gave us like these white jackets with like their school name and like hat. Yeah, it was like a really cool.
Oh, wait a minute. Did you get one of the big chef hats?
Yeah, we got one of those big chef hats, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And like we got a pink apron that had like ENSP, which is like the initials on the side. So that was like, the whole experience was cool, but that was really cool because we got to see like the chefs wear that throughout the time. Like we want one of those, you know? So
Yeah,
so that was cool.
Oh, you have to have a ton of photographs of you.
Absolutely.
So you come back. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
So I came back. I think the week after I decided to plan a graduation party. I don't know why. So I ended up that whole week and a half, I was baking for my graduation party because obviously I have to bake for my graduation party because that would make sense. So I did that. And in the meantime, I was like applying for like just jobs, like just kind of like anything pastry related. And thankfully, the first place I applied to and the second place I interviewed, ironically, I got the job. And I was the head pastry chef of a restaurant called Samuel Slater's in Webster. It was on in Indian Ranch. It was like their brand new restaurant they were opening.
Oh, yeah.
So it was really cool because the head chef at the time kind of just took a chance on me and was like, yeah, like, you know, like I didn't have any like real experience.
Is
per
it
se.
A very competitive business? In other words, is there a lot of people out there with your kind of background? You've gone professional,
right?
Really straight on through.
Right.
Is there a lot of people who've done that so that they're competing on your level?
Yes and no. A lot of people do it the way where they just start in a restaurant young and kind of
just
work.
Learn what the restaurant chef is
and
doing.
A lot of people tell you that's probably the best way to do it. Because you get to learn, like, every chef has different techniques. So, like, you kind of get to learn just from a little bit of everybody when you do it that way.
Yeah, but you've been exposed to a lot of chefs now.
I also have, too, the way I did it. But then again, some people know that this is what they want to do right from the beginning.
Is it like an art where you have to develop your own techniques and your own feel for the pastry? So you have signature pastries that you're known for.
Yeah. And I think you learn like your like what you want to do, you learn like the techniques. Like again, so like in France, they taught us some of the same stuff we learned in class, but like they just taught you a different way. So now it's up to me to figure out which way I like best and which way.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like you would think like, oh, okay, like for example, macaroons, which is a French cookie. The French have a different way. They taught us a different way in school, even though, if I'm not mistaken, the lady who taught us was French in school. So, like, you know, like, but it's just different. So, like, you just kind of, like, learn and pick and choose, like, what you want.
We're going to run out of time here.
Yeah, yeah.
and I want to mention that you're going to be one of the featured people at the WICN Jazz Holiday Jam, which is on December 7th, 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to bring in some of your stuff?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm actually going
to... Are you going to be there?
Yes, I will be there. I'm going to be in...
Sign your pastries?
collaboration with my current boss, because I currently work at a cafe / coffee shop in Charlton called Milk and Sugar. So we'll be doing something from like me, so like probably like a dessert from me, and then like a breakfast-ish item from Milk and Sugar.
Now, I want to talk about the stuff that's on your website.
Yeah.
The pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's insane, man.
Thank you.
It really is over the top.
Thank you.
Now, that's did you learn all of that? I mean, or a lot of that seems like a creative effort that has an awful lot of you in it, too. Talk to me about being creative with pastry. Like,
yeah. So I think the good thing about pastries is that you kind of get to be creative. Like, you know, there's standard things you have to do, but then, like, the, like, finishing touches are definitely, like, you.
The visual appeal is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to you.
Yeah. And I personally like love being creative. I think like one of the reasons I love being a baker and being a pastry chef is because I get to be creative. Like I think the area I like the most is plate of desserts because you can kind of do... So you can... I can give you the same four items and you and me will completely...
We'll do it completely different.
And then I could do it again. It'll be completely different than the first time I did
right,
it. You know?
Exactly
so
right.
Plate of desserts... excuse me. Specifically is the one that I truly enjoy just because you get to kind of just have your outlet and like if you decide that you want everything in like a tight circle, this plate you can. If you want everything kind of like spread out and like there's just like a lot of different options that you get to do. So like I think being a pastry chef is definitely like brings out the creative side in me.
Talk to me about trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
You must do that a lot.
Yeah. Probably more than I would like to admit, if we're being honest.
Because I look at these things, and to my eye, and it's an untrained eye, they look ridiculously complicated.
Right. And some of them are.
And beautiful.
Thank you. I think some of them are, and some of them aren't. So I think and it might just look to you like, wow, this looks complicated. And to me, I'm like, oh, this was nothing. This was, you know. So, yeah, I think it just depends on like what I'm baking, what the event is for, you know. Like
You also have some frozen things. On that, talk to me about those. Those look like pops.
Yeah.
They look like. Talk to me about what those were.
Yeah, they were basically we made like it was ice cream in like just the shape of like an ice cream pop. So we made homemade ice cream, and then like filled it into the mold, and then filled it with if I'm not mistaken, that one had brownies in it. So filled it with brownies, then you freeze it and you dip it in like chocolate, so that you could like eat it like a frozen pop. Yeah, like a Magnum kind of pop.
What's the most complicated thing you've ever tried to do?
I think honestly. The macaroons, the French cookies, because they're very finicky. Temperature of the oven has to be right. The temperature in the room has to be right. Your ingredients have to be weighed.
For people who've never baked or don't bake a lot, why is the temperature in the room important?
Because your ingredients, so it might not seem like it, but your ingredients can be like contain moisture from like the air. So that throws things off. It has to be weighed exactly. Like if it's 300 grams, it's 300 grams or...
So the type of day it is, like for instance, a humid summer day versus a dry winter day will affect your...
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely tried to do it like just thinking I could just bake something normal and then it just hasn't come out because it's... And I've done the same exact steps. Like once you know, like for example, macaroons, once you know the steps, it's, you know, it's just the same 8 steps. But I've done the exact same thing and they'll come out...
Completely different.
Completely different. I've had them like come out perfect. I've had them come out where like the feet, which is like the bottom of it, spread out. I've had them come out where it just was one complete tray. Like it just all baked together.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. You know, and it's
like one giant macaroon.
And like I didn't do anything different. It was just the day, the temperature. Like who knows, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. Those really test my patience.
So what
sometimes.
Was the thing that challenged you the most? What piece? What dessert challenged you and that you were like most tense about coming at?
Honestly, I think people will find this answer surprising. It's cakes, and which is like something I do so often now, but it's still, cakes still stress me out. And if you ask my mom, she'll laugh because she'll say like, yeah, Ida and cakes don't get along sometimes. But like I can do them and they'll come out, but like the process in between is like I'm like yelling around the kitchen or like who knows, because it's just like, again, some days you do the same exact thing and they just don't come out right.
Now to me it would seem like cakes would be easy. Like is it about cakes?
Everything.
Oh my god, she's you're not seeing you can't see this, but she's actually stressing out now.
Yeah, it's like I don't know, like sometimes like they won't, you can cut them straight, they're just not level. They're like you could stack it and they're like you think it looks straight, all of a sudden it's tilted. Like it's just like if you have a tilted bottom, you have a tilted top, and it's just like, well, there goes the cake kind of like.
Oh,
cakes give me the most stress for sure. And I kind of like in doing them, like I said, people ask me for them all the time. So I'm getting better.
You haven't done wedding cakes yet, have
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's got to be the most stressful thing because it's got to be right.
Yeah, they have to be right. It has to be stable because I have to deliver it from like where I'm working to where we're going. So yeah, cakes definitely stress me out the most for sure.
Do you do pies?
Yeah, we do pies around Thanksgiving usually. Pecan pie is one of my favorites.
But pies are simple.
Yeah, and I actually think pies make me, it's kind of like a stress reliever because I'm rolling out the dough. Like, I love making pies.
So you're pro pie, but mezza about
cake. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like iffy about cakes.
What's your favorite cake?
Anything with passion fruit. Anything with passion fruit. So like anything with like a passion fruit curd. I actually just made one this weekend. It was a vanilla cake, passion fruit mousse.
So everybody's like salivating as they're listening to this.
And like strawberries. So it was just like very tropical. It reminded me of Puerto Rico. It was one of my, it was anything tropical flavored, I'm all for.
Yeah. So you put things like kiwi fruit and passion fruit and stuff like
that? Pineapple, coconut. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Any of those tropical flavors. I just did one at work with guava. So just like,
Now, I got to ask you this, too. You go to a restaurant just to eat.
Yeah.
Are you being super critical of what they serve? And do you check it out? Do you check out their pastries?
I absolutely do check out the pastries. Yep. It's probably like the first thing I do. I always look at the dessert menu. But no, I'm not over critical, I don't think. I always like eating desserts that I don't have to bake. So like, I obviously just... I will say yes to dessert at all times.
Now you've been. Now you've traveled since then. Did I see pictures of Spain?
Yeah. So when we were in France, the weekends were free. So in France, we got to go to Italy, Spain, and Switzerland. Were the three countries that we got to go on the weekend.
Did you sample the desserts there?
Yeah, we ate. I think honestly, I spent most of my time just eating. Like
when I traveled to Spain, I went mostly to the Catalonian section of it. And first of all, I was totally freaked out by the quality of the food.
Amazing.
It was. It was fresh. I'm not used to that. Yep. I'm not used to people like really caring about food.
Yeah.
So you first of all, and you didn't eat supper till like 11.
Yeah. It was.
That screwed me up totally.
Everything there was like, the food quality was just different.
It was.
Like even in France, like the food is fresh. Everything's just like.
Locally sourced.
Yeah. And just like, so I just felt better when I was there because like the food is not as processed. And you're not eating as heavy as you are when you're back home.
But you went to like literally a different food group, a completely different cuisines.
Yeah.
In that little trip. So that's sort of mind-boggling too.
Yeah. Like then we got to go to Italy, so fresh pasta. You're watching them make you pasta. Like, you know, so yeah.
So is there a dessert that you haven't made yet that you really want to try?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like is there something that you really want to try that you've not done yet?
Honestly, I would want to do more entremets, like more of the mousse.
Because
because there's so many like different flavor profiles that you could pull together. So like I've done like some of the basics like chocolate raspberry, you know, some of the basics that they have you do in school. But like there's so many options that you could do that. I would love to be able to like do that, but it takes so much time that it's not something that you could just do like quickly. You know,
we're completely out of time. It's been a real pleasure.
Yes, talking. Yes, it was a pleasure.
It was great. I want to mention that you can actually taste what we're talking about. It's going to be at the WICN Jazz Holiday Jam, December 7th, 2 to 4.
Yes.
Make sure you come in and make sure you introduce yourself to Ida. Thank you so much for being
here.
My guest tonight has been pastry chef Edeliana Medina.
Yes.
Man, what a trip, man, talking to you about this. It was really great.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.